Hello and welcome to the Mr. All In podcast. As usual, my name is Jacob Staton, and as usual, I'm joined by JJ Armstrong. JJ, how the devil are you?
I'm going to play the role of mediator for every Forest fan out there right now and say this is a safe space. Everybody, just take a second. Breathe. Release. What a chaotic game. I feel so relieved. I feel on top of the world. Vital 3 points. How are you, Jacob? Are you all right?
Oh, I'm better now you've said the word release.
It was an evacuation of relief at 90 minutes. I'm feeling great. Feeling great.
Fantastic. Yeah, that was something else. I don't know any other way to describe it. Yeah, literally just something else, wasn't it? It was... right. Sorry, let's start off. JJ, you have a prize to tell us all about. Do that first.
Yes, quick opportunity. I've just released these posters. You can see that gold foil detail. Look at that, beautiful. Heavymetalfootball.co.uk, link in the bio. Check out the prints I've just released. But we're running a competition on our social media. You can win one at Miss Rolling Pod on Instagram. Enter it through there or at Missed Rolling In Pod. We'll put the links in the description. I can't remember what's what. Either way, competition, win a poster. And yeah, more importantly, forget about the competition. I'm going to put the table up on screen now. This is how it was in the 90th minute when Forest did get those vital 3 points. Subject to change. Burnley is still playing at the minute, but this is how it stands anyway. Forest sit 17th on 25 points. Now 3 points ahead of Luton, who are due to play tomorrow against Arsenal. 1 point away from Everton, who have just got a last-minute equaliser against Newcastle. And 2 points away from Brentford. So the picture is looking very healthy after Forest just beat Fulham somehow. What a crazy, crazy game, Jacob.
What a crazy world we're living, mate. We look at the start at 11. It was actually only one player different from our predicted or preferred 11, wasn't it? And that was with Danilo instead of Giovanni Reina. Morgan White still in the 10. So the team that started was Matt Sells in goal, back four of Neco Williams, Andrew Aubameyang, Murillo, and Ola Aina with Yates and Danilo holding with the world's greatest front four of Anthony Elanga, Morgan White, Callum Hudson-Odoi, and Chris Wood. And we started quick, didn't we, JJ?
God, I mean, we put up in the last podcast, we discussed possibly pushing Gibbs White further back, having Raider in the 10. But, you know, this proved us extremely wrong about why Gibbs White is very effective in the 10 when he plays as well as we know he can play, which tonight he was absolutely excellent. And we started great. We looked up for it. We looked fired up. The crowd felt fantastic. The energy felt incredible. But we, you know, there's going to be so much we're going to miss through this. By the way, it was so chaotic, a lot happened. But I guess the first major thing to address is Hudson-Odoi's opening goal, which was nothing short of phenomenal, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think just before that goal as well, wasn't there? There was the chance where Mungibs White could have played Chris Wood in, and he underhits the right idea, but he underhits the pass, doesn't he? And it's, you kind of then starting to think, Christ, how many chances are we actually going to get today? Is that, have we wasted something? And then all of a sudden, the ball gets through to Callum Hudson-Odoi, who, when he chops back in, I was thinking he's wasted his chance, but he chops back in for a Hudson-Odoi special, doesn't he?
Yeah, just elite. It's a player that's grown in confidence over the last few weeks. He's a really, really special player there. And you can see over the course of the season that when he's confident, when he's playing, when he has a regular run of games, there's a special player in there. Yeah. And he's proved that completely there. That is an exceptional finish. It was a brilliant ball by Gibbs White, who I was frustrated at, you know, misplacing the pass just before that. Like you said, at that moment in time, you're questioning how many of these are we actually going to get tonight. But to come back from it and deliver a beautiful ball, and you could be mistaken for thinking maybe Hudson-Odoi has jeffed this up a little bit, but No, incredible. He, absolutely incredible goal. And if the 90-minute goal that Palace scored against us in the last game killed the crowd, and that was the last thing we needed, this goal in the 90th minute to inspire the crowd was the only thing we needed, because the atmosphere, the energy felt incredible. So great start, great timing. And I felt really happy, and we capitalised again pretty quickly after.
Yeah, there was a bit of a scramble, wasn't there, before the actual chance got recycled. Murillo slides that kind of vertical ball through the pitch, doesn't he? The way he kind of sees through the lines into Chris Wood. He'd had a couple of digs at a chance just before that, and everybody can clearly see that he just thinks, I'm a bit frustrated. Well, he feels frustrated. He's just going to whack this one. And it flies into the bottom corner. I think there's an element of luck where we're wrong sighting the keeper, because Alanga's running through. I think it's Alanga is running through, and it kind of goes. Oh, he almost shields it until it goes past him. But I think if it had been an offside position, it definitely would have been disallowed. But it wasn't. And it was a wonderful strike into the corner that I don't think Leno would have got anyway. But yeah, a wonderful goal. And then this sums up, I made a comment on the last podcast around, I don't know what Chris Wood is as a striker. I still don't. I know he's a good one. He scores goals, which is great. But I don't. If somebody said to me, you know, if we put Tyler Wunyi into the category of poacher, you know, that kind of thing, I don't know what I would categorise Chris Wood as. But I know he needs to be on the pitch, JJ.
Well, I categorise him as someone that's absolutely full of confidence. You've got to be confident to have a go from that range. And Leno was rooted to the spot. Cue absolute chaos at the City grounds. Yeah, I know what he is. He's a striker full of confidence, and he's someone that's absolutely vital. So
yeah.
Was it 8 and 9 that we mentioned last podcast, or is it 7 and 8? Either way, it's either 8 and 9 or 9
it's
and
a lot.
10. It's a lot of goals. It's a striker. A lot of goals.
Money.
In incredible money. Form, who we... Again, hold your hands up. And
raise that roof,
we got it wrong. So, yeah, incredible, incredible player. Incredible impact that he's had on the side. So, not much Leno could have done about it. And I think that someone would have used the word pandemonium in the City ground, which it certainly was. So, yeah, very good.
Yes. Then Fulham do the unthinkable thing of making 3 changes. I don't blame them for doing that. I didn't necessarily agree with who they took off. I'm going to check now. I know one of them was Lukic.
They took off Lukic, Iwobi, and Derby reject Harry Wilson.
Yeah. I don't think... I don't think any of them were playing. I don't necessarily think Fulham were playing badly. I just think we were their kryptonite. It was very similar to the Villa game, in my opinion, where they were playing their game, which was to attack us, and we were playing our game, which was to counter-attack effectively, and we were very effective. I felt a bit sorry for the 3 that came off. But I don't know what 3 I would have taken off, in my opinion.
I feel sorry for 2 of them. The Derby reject Harry Wilson did not feel sorry for. But no, Fulham weren't playing bad. Like that, you are completely right. Fulham weren't playing bad. We were just playing well. We were not only playing well, we were playing incredibly effectively. And we talked about it in our private chat as it was happening, Jacob. We said, this is enjoyable. This is fun, because this is us reverting back to that counter-attacking purpose on... counter-attacking on purpose style of play that you identified that made us so effective in those important games that we picked up points, like Newcastle, like Man United, where we knew what we were doing it on purpose, and it was exciting and it was enjoyable, and it felt like we departed from that a little bit. Possibly the points deduction weighed heavy over us, but this felt like us getting back to that. So by no means do I think Fulham played bad. A lot of the time, you know, we've said other teams don't have to play well to beat us.
Yeah.
We played well to beat them, and they played well, and we still beat them. So you are completely right in that.
This is the result to go with the better performance that I was talking about in the last podcast, to say that why I'm not enamored by Nuno, but I don't, we have had better performances without getting the results, but this was both tonight. This was a much better performance and obviously clearly a much better result against a team who are doing really well this season. I also think as well, once they make those three changes, we do very well to almost relax rather than kind of go after them again. And then, we come up with a third goal, which is nothing short of delightful. Morgan's White and Danilo played a 1-2. Danilo does really well to suck the two Fulham centre backs out of defence. He's smiling.
You must have been watching a different stream to me. I didn't see that part.
I didn't see that. See, pull them out of defence, but that's not much better. To move them out of their position by coming to close a shot down that he never makes, and then he just slots Morgan Gibbs White in, who takes a touch and slides it past Bert Leno. Wow. Pumps it past Bert Leno. Wow. 3-0. And the Florida deserve goal for Morgan Gibbs White because he was doing everything right today. I think sometimes he can get, I don't know if it's like subconscious pressure of having to be that number 10. And I think that's why he did better a bit further back in the second half against Crystal Palace. But everything he touched basically turned to gold. And any mistakes he did make were in their half, so that it didn't cost us a goal or didn't cost us a giving up a chance. And I just think, As a half of football, I can't think of one that I've ever seen that was more perfect than that.
It was fantastic. The first half was the best 45 I've seen since we've come up to the Premier League, definitely. Maybe, was it Swansea in the Championship season?
That was a brilliant. That was a tactical masterclass, wasn't it, from Steve Cooper?
Yeah,
I remember that.
I think maybe that one, but this was certainly, since we've come up, the best 45 I've seen. And Gibbs White, you can accuse him of overthinking stuff, you can criticize him for his set pieces, and we have, but you've got to hold your hand up and just say, like you said, everything he touched tonight turned to gold. And this was a player who we know has creative excellence within him. We know when he's at his most confident, he is an incredible asset, that his talent extends far beyond the club, in my opinion. But at the moment, you sort of say he's sort of playing within the realms of this club. He's not quite reaching the heights that we know he can. But I think tonight, especially in that first 45, he showcased the talent that we know he is, we know he can be. We've seen glimpses of it, but that was an overall 45 of him displaying the best elements of himself. A complete performance from him. That 45 earned him man of the match, I think. And just within 45 minutes, it was, everything he touched was liquid gold.
Liquid gold. I think that tonight was a £50 million plus player. That's 100%. What that was tonight. That was...
Yeah. And then up some. I'm just going to call out somebody on the podcast. Which is Chris, my dear pal from the Forest All Over podcast. We had a bit of a debate at halftime where I was a positive one for once. I told Chris to grow up because Chris said to me, Luton were 3-0 up against Bournemouth and lost 4-3. The game is far from over. And he said he was correct. He said Forest need a fourth. We saw it against Saints last season. Told him to grow up. Told him he could never take away that 45 minutes from us, and told him he's been a negative bleep. But unfortunately, he was semi-right quite quickly when Fulham scored and my heart sank.
What did I tell you to do, JJ?
What did you tell me to do?
I told you to delete his number.
Yes. Chris, you're absolutely dead to me. You were a little bit right. There was a moment in time where I've told Chris to grow up here. And then Fulham scored, and I went, "Oh shit!
Yeah,
this looks bad for me." But
it gets even better than that as well, because I had flicked over to the West Ham Spurs game because I'd heard that Brennan Johnson had scored, and there's nothing I like better than seeing that man progress. And because I didn't realise we'd kicked off until it flashed up on my phone to say that from BBC to say that Fulham had scored. I switch over to see a header from a set piece go in, JJ. What message? Yeah. I sent you a message saying, was that from a set piece, was it?
Yeah, of course. Of course it was. Worth saying, by the way, still absolutely love Chris. It was all banter. We are still friends. The grout wasn't real. Yeah, of course it was from a free kick, from a set piece, sorry. Of course it was. And you get the impression with the way that we played tonight that if anything was really going to happen, it's probably going to be from a gift or a set piece, which obviously that was just not really good enough, avoidable, which I think you can categorise most set pieces that we face this season under that. So I'll be honest, normally, I mean, I was extremely stressed for the rest of the game, which we'll discuss, because from their goal, it was utter chaos. It was back and forth that a neutral would absolutely love, and I am not a neutral, so I was unbelievably stressed. But I didn't feel that nervous, really. And there's one reason why, and that is because every tackle Forest won, every pass Forest made, the crowd were unbelievable. And when the City ground is that lit up, that up for it, and fighting that much, that you can only ever really see the result going one way. So Fulham gave us a really good go. And I think on another day, we could have had five in the first half. They could have had four or five in the second half. It was one of those games. It was literally electric as a game. But the crowd, they filled me with confidence. So you can imagine being on that pitch, what a difference it would make to the players. If watching it, I get filled with confidence from their noise, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, there was also Neco Williams hit the post, deflected shot. Danilo then sends a goal-bound volley into the gut of Chris Wood. If either of those two go in and it's 4-1.
Origi
has a one-on-one. That was a really lovely piece of play as well, that counter-attack. I love the fact that we didn't just run to the corner. I love the fact that the option was there. Everybody thought about what they were doing. There's a clear, definite ball on. I just like the way that we did it. He should definitely have scored. It was decent. I think the keeper does quite well, actually, not to commit either way. If the keeper comes out, he can go over the top or round. He does really well. He still should have gone in, just saying. But yeah, if we
they
get
hit,
one of
them. They hit the post as well, by the way. It was chaos.
Towards the end, wasn't it? Yeah. And they were always a threat from set pieces, obviously. But I just think if we'd have got that fourth goal, and they'd have had to go that extra mile to start to keep attacking, I could have seen us getting more goals on the counter, because that's just that would have just fed into what we needed. They got a bit more control in the second half. I check the possession stats now.
Yeah, I don't know if you can get the second half specific possession, but overall, Forest only had 33% of possession.
I checked at the end. I think it's the same for both halves, so...
Right,
I'm obviously talking spouting, but yeah, I think it, you know, shots on goal. We're 16, they had 17 shots on target, 4 for us, 3 for them. Very tight, very even game. Anybody who watched this game as a neutral was in for an absolute treat. But yeah, I mean, we made decent substitutions. I don't think we should ever take Morgan Gibbs-White off in a game that's not dead, but Reina did pretty well. Callum Hudson-Odoi, I think, was a safety precaution because he was getting lumps kicked out of him. Olarain is obviously still coming back from lots of injuries. And Adina Langer, I think the right decision was made to put Dominguez on because he can play on the wing and he can close people down, can't he? So I just think we made right decisions and we managed to make it so that they didn't really forge anything in the last 10 minutes, did they? I know, Adama Traore hit the post, but that was like very last 30 seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did feel quite comfortable. I was stressed, don't get me wrong. Really, really stressed. But that was more because of how important I felt the 3 points were to us, less so than maybe thinking we were going to throw it away. Because, as I said, the crowd, it was a special, special crowd tonight. Yeah. We're going to go through the players in detail now and talk about the performances, but it was a special performance of the crowd. It was a really special performance from the players. And I think if you compare that half versus half against the first time we played Fulham this season. That was an embarrassment. That was a 5-0 loss full of players that looked like they didn't care, that weren't fighting for our club, that had a lack of passion, that a lot of them got removed the following game. Yep. I looked at those players with as much disgust as you've just looked at that cup there, Jacob. but this game, you know, it's you can't even really compare because the passion was there. The players absolutely were fighting for the shirt tonight. I don't know what it was. If you asked me prior to Saturday, out of the two games, which game would struggle and hopefully scrape a point, or a game where we dominate, play really well, and get the three, it would have been the complete opposite. I'd have thought Palace was the easy game, Fulham was the more difficult. So we played exceptional. Fulham also played well, and don't get it wrong, Fulham are a really good team. Doesn't matter what happened against Sheffield United at the weekend for them to be losing 3-1. That doesn't matter because they did, you know, pull it back, but they are a very, very good team. Jacob, you said they're just a few players away from being sort of the next Brighton, and I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Good manager, very good players, a good side. So good striker, we did very well.
Midfield, Pereira and
Palinha's very, very good.
Wonderful players. Strong back four. Alex Robinson playing really well. Solid keeper.
Very good side.
I think they just need a couple more players who can win them a game on their own. Like, you know, like Brighton, I've got what's the Japanese lad who's wonderful? Mitoma. Pascal Gross can bend the free kick in from anywhere. Lewis Dunk thinks he's Beckenbauer.
Evan Ferguson's got. They've got good players. They've got good recruitment. Fulham are, as we've seen by their attendance tonight, one of the lesser sides. But in terms of the actual way they play, the manager, they're very, very good. So we did very well to both capitalize in the first half and be as dominant as we had. Had been, but also to remain holding, sticking, digging, and get those 3 points. It's a really, really big win. I would almost identify this as a scalp for the position we're in at the minute. It was really, really good.
Brilliant. So on to our ratings for team. We're going to run through the starting 11. We'll run player by player and can both give our thoughts. I don't imagine there'll be too much sitting on either side of the coin tonight. I think it would just be, you were right. Yep, you were right. I think I'm looking at the starting 11. I can't think of anyone who would get less than a 7, if I'm being perfectly honest. And I think that's lowballing. Let's go Matt Sells in goal, JJ. Gives you thoughts, gives you rating.
What an upgrade he's been. I think I said this after the Palace game, huge upgrade on Matt Turner, who made a huge impact tonight by getting a yellow card on the bench. but like I said, we got that recruitment right.
Yeah.
He's made some huge saves over the last two games alone.
Yep.
But I feel confident with him in goal. I'd give him an 8.5. I think he maybe could have been man of the match against Palace. But I thought he was, again, brilliant tonight, and his confidence to come out and collect the ball. You know, what I like about a keeper is the confidence to collect the ball, go down to the ground, waste a bit of time. You hate it against you, but other keepers panic and don't have the confidence or assurance to just settle the team when we needed it. So, big saves, great keeper, 8.5 for me.
Yeah, I think he's an 8. I think he made a couple of good saves in the second half. He's really, really a no-thrill shot stopper, which is exactly what we need. We don't need somebody good with their feet. With the ball at his feet, he sends it long, and he actually sends it long, which is awesome. He doesn't.
He's great
about
with his feet, though. His accuracy when he sends it long is,
yeah,
any point.
Yeah, but you know, that's not a sweeper keeper, is it?
He's very good.
Yeah, very good. He's very good. His shot stopping is great. He's no fuss, no muss. Doesn't make a mistake. You know, what else do we want from a keeper in this position? I think I'd give him an 8, but I wouldn't grumble at an 8.5. Next up is Necker Williams. I'll make my mind up at the end, but he's a very strong contender for Man of the Match. I think since the turn of the year, ish when he first got back into the team. He has been one of, if not our best player. His work ethic at the minute, I didn't think he could play right back. I thought he was a right wing back, or he was going to end up playing attacking midfield because they don't want to play him right back. He is now one of the first names on the team sheet for me. He is the first choice right back for sure. He's good on the ball. He's struggling to tackle. His effort levels are unbelievable. This is the player I thought we'd signed from Liverpool. Now, I can't say any better than that. I think I'd give him a 9 tonight. He pocketed whatever winger was against him. Anthony Robinson's probably one of the best left backs in the league outside of the top four, and he just made him completely and utterly ineffective.
I generally don't know what else I can say. I think that's the perfect summary of what Nico Williams is. And but last season, there were flashes of him being a really good player, but he didn't have that consistency. He is one of our most consistent performers since the start of the year, but over the course of the season, but more so the start of this year. I thought his cameo appearances earlier in the season, he was brilliant, I was going to swear. Mm. But over the last few weeks, start of the year, you're completely right. Most consistent performer. He's a player that, you know, the price tag looks cheap now. I thought at the time we got him with some of his performances, the price tag looked quite expensive, but I would say it looks cheap. There's unbelievable player in there. His effort levels, I think he's one of the hardest workers on the pitch for sure. So I don't think you can give him man of the match. We'll obviously discuss the man of the match later. But if you take away goal involvement, for me, he was certainly man of the match. I thought he was brilliant. It will be overlooked because of the goal involvements. But yeah, 9, possibly even a 9.5 if we're being generous because we've got 3 points. But he, incredible player.
Phenomenal. Next up is Andre Omobamadeli, JJ.
8 for me, really good. I could probably stretch it to an 8.5, maybe. he's the starting centre back. It's Murillo plus another. He is another. So, yeah, let's not overthink it as we have done in recent weeks. We know they're a good pairing. They might be young, but they don't look it on the pitch. There's a lot of experience that can come on off the bench or start, but he looks beyond his years, as does Murillo. So that's the pairing for me. Really effective, great player. 8 out of 10.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree. I think him and Murillo, I'll start Murillo now as well. I'm going to give them both an 8, if not an 8.5. Murillo obviously got the assist as well for the Wood goal with that lovely ball through. But if Murillo is the delicious, tangy barbecue sauce on the pitch, then Omobamadeli is the perfect side of beef, isn't he, to go alongside him. I don't know, they complement each other really well. Omobamadeli looks like he organises defence and pushes and pulls people about, which is something that I imagine, as the kind of player that Murillo is, he's not that bothered about doing. I think they're a great partnership, and if we can keep them together for as long as humanly possible, it's all the better for this club. I think I'd give them both, but like I say, both an 8, if not an 8.5, but just handled the business very, very well.
Yeah, just on that, Omobamadeli is beyond his years because of those reasons. He is a leader. He's a future captain for sure. He commands that back line. And like, Murillo just looks like he doesn't really care. It comes so natural to him. But Omobamadeli is definitely a future captain, I think.
Yeah. Ola Aina, please, JJ. Oh, in fact, no, sorry, your score for Murillo, please, mate.
8.2 because he got an assist, so he's got to get a bit higher. I don't want to give everyone an 8.5, so we go 8.2. We run out of words to say how good he is, so yeah. 8.2.
Ola Aina, please.
Another 8 for me. Really pleased that he got another game. I said to you last game how important he is to Callum Hudson-Odoi being Callum Hudson-Odoi, and that is evident again tonight. He is electric down that left-hand side. He is the starting left-back for me. Few people have said that Tavares possibly is the best left-back we've got at the club. I don't agree. I think it is Aina by far. both him and Tavares unlock Hudson-Odoi. Toffolo's been really steady. Toffolo's been really good. If you need a left back, Toffolo is really useful. But Aina, you know, he excels for me. So makes an impact. Another 8. I can't see past it.
Yeah. I think he did some very underrated work when Adama Traore came on. I think his evening got a whole lot harder when that happened, and he did well to really limit him and understand where he's best defending against him. And it's if you try and close down somebody as quick as Adama Traore, you're going to get exposed. And I think he did well to keep him at arm's length and I don't know, kind of back him off and to force Adama Traore to produce something. And that's always been Adama Traore's issue, hasn't it? He's not got the end product.
Yeah.
Which is great work. Can't argue with the 8, if not higher, for having to deal with.
Can I just say as well, Grease Lightning criticized Forest recruitment a lot. He was free, so he's much better than a free. Yeah. So extend his contract, please.
I just wish he didn't get injured all the time when he could finish a game. That's my. I think I said to you, didn't I? Like if he went off injured, didn't he, last game? Or he's certainly hobbling when he went off. Certainly got treatment. It's when it starts to get to the point where you just like, if he can't play 3/4 of a season, we need to look at something else. But on that tonight, if we can get that.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Well, he went off again tonight, which is a shame. But yeah.
I think that was more a, he's not played a lot of football. That was the only second game since AFCON finished, wasn't it? And that was at the end of Jan, I think.
Yeah.
Fed. On to number 22 and captain Ryan Yates, JJ. Oof.
Oh, a divisive figure in the Forest fan base. And we discussed in the last podcast, you might have seen on our Twitter that we put a starting 11 up that we think, or I think anyway, Jacob, I think you agreed that was the starting 11, which is a route to survival, which included Ryan Yates as a starting midfielder. And I said, if he gets taken out and it's Dominguez, Danilo, Sangare, and they improve the squad, completely fine. But when you need a performance and a captain's performance, like he produced tonight, he is the man for you, because I thought tonight he was incredible. I think a lot of the Yates doubters and Yates haters, you can point to a few games where you go, yeah, you've got a point. But tonight, they have to be reflective and say he was just excellent. It was like having the crowd on the pitch. And like I say, he's tarred with the brush of he's no good and he's a passion merchant, and his only strength is that he is a fan of the club and he was from Nottingham and all that stuff. And that's why that's a positive thing, because when you need someone to care and put themselves about and fight for the team and fight for the shirt, he was that player and he did that tonight. The commentators certainly singled him out as well as just being everywhere. I want to give him an 8 again. I think he was brilliant. I think he's got to have proved a lot of people wrong. I know it's only one game, but a lot of people that doubted him, you have to reflect. As much as you might hate him, you have to reflect and just say he was very, very good tonight.
Yeah, I think you've undone him a bit there, mate, at the end with an 8. I would give him an 8 for the first half, and I think I'd give him a 9 for the second half. He was, in the first half, I think he was good. I think him and Danilo, I think we've got some really nice partnerships going. I think the way that Danilo went left and helped Hudson-Odoi and Aina, and the way Yates went right and helped out Williams and Elanga was really lovely. And I noticed Yates and Danilo really tried not to do much other than just kind of move the ball up the pitch very quickly to players who can do better with the ball, if that makes sense. But yeah, I think just I can't argue anything. So just phenomenal. That was him at his best, and that's him harnessing that passion for good, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's that he's all the supporters on the pitch. And you know, and I get the criticism sometimes. Yes, he's not the best footballer. I personally think he should be a bit more box to box and score and chip in with a, you know, 5, 6, 7 goals a season, which I think that's what Cooper wanted him to do. And that's certainly what he's doing in the championship. But I don't think anybody could argue with his performance tonight. It was, what else do you want from a central midfielder?
If Sangare put in the Yates haters, if Sangare put in that performance that Yates did tonight, you would be going absolutely mental and you know it. So just reflect on the fact that he was exceptional.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on to Danilo, who, again, great game. wonderful pass for the Morgan Gibbs White goal. The way that he, again, the way that he sucks the defenders out. The way that he draws the defenders out and then just lays it off. Beautiful. Really, really no fuss. Getting the, moving the ball forwards, you know, from a central midfielder who's not going to do anything crazy with the ball. Just whenever he got it, it went up to the wing, up to Morgan Gibbs White. Just let it get, it got us moving in the right direction. And I can't be underestimated the effort that what that gave us. I'd probably go with an 8.5, same as Yates. They're all good, aren't they?
They were all very good. I'd go for an 8 as well. In the conversation of this, the midfield two, it was always, you know, Yates or Dominguez, Sangari, Yates, Gibbs White, Dominguez, Gibbs White, Yates. I almost overlooked Danilo because I think at some points this season he's not been as effective as he was. But we've seen the Danilo at the back end of last season who was brilliant. He was one of our most effective players. I think there was a game earlier in the season, might have been Man U, might have been Newcastle, but Danilo was really good in one of the games earlier in the season. But there has been a bit of an inconsistency there. But tonight, you know, he didn't really do anything wrong. There was a few stray passes now and then, but, you know, you can forgive it if nothing comes of it. I thought he was really positive. I thought he was a very, very good performance from Danilo. And I'd give him an 8 as well. And I think whilst I might have removed him from any conversation previously, he certainly put himself back into the conversation for me after that performance.
Yeah, it was an odd one. That tonight was Danilo from last season, from when he came in and got Remo Freuler kicked out of the team. I think that was the one, and it was lovely to see. On Anthony Elanga, please, JJ, thoughts and scores.
I would say he's the lowest rated for me, yeah. But I think the lowest rated is still a 7.5. He was still very good. He was very positive. There was one moment where he had four Fulham players surrounding him and still got the better of them. You know, he still had a very good performance. He's still a threat. His pace is a threat. Just think he was less effective. If you had to point to one person, I think 7.5 might be an injustice, but I would say in the balance of fairness, if you're giving everyone else an 8, he maybe has to be a little bit lower. But 100% has to start the next game again. He is a threat. His pace is electric. So there was a chance that he certainly should have scored. I think it was harder to miss than it was to score. But you thought it was still a good effort, Jacob. But yeah, still very good. Don't get me wrong. I don't want that to be seen as a negative thing. But probably if I had to give a score, I'd say he's the lowest of them all.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's more of a... We didn't put any of the play down his side, or not a lot of it. That was a very good chance in the first half that he just squirmed wide. Again, I think Leno does well to hold his position and not commit, forces him to really try and put it into the post, which is what happened with Origi as well. But I think 7.5, very, very, very nice to have somebody who's two players who are as equally as threatening on each wing. I just think we focused it down the side of Hudson-Odoi rather than Elanga. That's not his fault. Next up is Morgan Gibbs-White, JJ, who I'm going to be very brief and just say that is Morgan Gibbs-White. That is the £50 million man, if not more. That was superb. I don't think he should have been taken off unless he had a knock on, unless he was extremely tired. But he like harnessed his arrogance and passion into being a almost like Maradona-esque number 10. Don't kill me, he's not as good as Maradona, Jesus Christ, but that, you know, is that kind of performance where he took the game by the scruff of the neck, and it was just lovely to see.
Yeah, and I think he often does take the game by the scruff of the neck, or try to, and puts too much pressure on himself. Everything that he tried to do tonight worked, and that's why it was a complete performance. You've definitely just knocked your leg. I can see the pain in your eyes. But
it's just hurting in general right now.
Okay. It's been a long day. Nearly there, Jacob. We'll get through it. complete performance. That is the player that I was excited for Forest to sign. That's a player that we've seen flashes of. I wouldn't have taken him off. This is getting X-rated at the minute. This is a player that is special, that ceiling is extremely high, and you can add a few million to his price tag just from tonight, I think. So, yeah. Man of the match, I think you have to give it him. I think Nick Williams was brilliant, but for the goal involvement, for how special and creative he was, I'd give it to Gibbs White. And because of that, I'd give him a 9.5.
Oof. I can't disagree. I think I'd probably give him man of the match. I think you're right. But the goal and an assist. Wonderful player, 9.5, if not a 10. Oh, 9.5, he didn't play the whole game. That's what I'll go with. Yeah. Next up is Callum Hudson-Odoi. Again, just what a threat constantly. Should have had at least two goals. Took his one goal wonderfully. All the play came down his side because he is awesome. Can go inside, can go outside. Got lumps kicked out of him, so not surprised he got taken off. But just what a footballer, what a steal. Potentially could have been man of the match. I think a 9. He's a 9 out of 10 easily. I don't know what else to say, JJ. Just awesome.
Another 9 for me. A player that needs confidence, needs a run of games. The price we paid for him looks incredibly cheap.
Pittance.
Incredibly cheap. Another 9 for me. A great performance. And let's just hope he can remain fit and have another good run of games, because, you know, if he's confident, if he's got a run of games in him, then we'll stay up.
Yep, absolutely. Last but not least is our striker extraordinaire, Chris Wood, JJ.
Another 9 for me. See past another 9. I think to score that many goals in as many games, you know, he's a player full of confidence, an important player that's filled a huge void for us since Taiwo has been injury ridden. I would extend his contract for as long as he wants at the minute. I think he's been vital. I think he had a great performance, very clever goal, good instinct, strike full of confidence. Another 9.
Yeah, never stops pressing the back that their defenders. I would like to play centre back against him at all. Because again, it's that whole thing. What do you do to him? Do you go and close him down? He's a big lad. He's not exactly slow, but he doesn't rely on pace. He's big, but he's decent with the ball at his feet. He can sneak in behind you. He's good in the... I don't know.
He's got a bit.
Maybe I'll describe him as the complete forward, JJ.
Yeah. It took me by surprise. He's really good. I think he's really, really,
you know, and a wonderful goal.
Brilliant goal. Yeah. He's vital. So, yeah, another great performance.
Wonderful. Briefly then, subs. Toflo didn't really get to do much. Dominguez didn't really get to do much. Reina had a nice few touches, and Divock Origi should have scored that chance. So, just what a team performance, JJ.
Complete performance from top to bottom, and that includes the fan base as well. Overall, a full, comprehensive, great performance. Vital 3 points. Let's see what the Burnley score was, because they would have finished by now. Finished 1-1. So
did West Ham for Spurs as well.
Fair. I mean, that doesn't really affect us. But yeah, we needed that. Certainly needed that. Gives us a nice cushion ahead of Luton playing Arsenal tomorrow. So yeah, what more can you say? Vital 3 points. Very, very good performance. I'm going to go to bed tonight a very happy man.
Very happy man. And a great way to take us into an odd game of 6 o'clock on Sunday. Get to your local pubs for Spurs. I think this one's a bit of a free hit, if I'm being honest, but I would like to say that I think Spurs are gettable. If we can counter-attack like we did tonight against them in the way that they'll try and attack us, we have a chance of getting something. I'm not saying that we will. I'm not saying that we should. I just think there is definitely something there, given the immaturity of where they are with their team and their project, I think.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where it is a free hit. I think you could categorise Spurs away as a difficult game regardless of where they are within their project. You know, they took our one of our best players or biggest assets from us last season, money that is probably nothing to them. So that shows where they are in terms of their levels. So, yeah, it'd be incredibly difficult to get anything from it. But if you can have a performance like we did tonight, don't forget that Fulham have beaten Spurs within their last five or six games. If we can beat Fulham, technically anything can happen. So take confidence from today's game. Obviously, it's away, so it's slightly more difficult. But I think what it gives us, hopefully, if Luton, Arsenal goes to plan and Arsenal beat Luton, what it gives us is a bit of a buffer, a bit of relaxation. It is a free hit. It's one that we can go into with no expectations. And if we get anything, brilliant. I could possibly see us getting this point. I do think we'll lose. But what have you got, if not hope? So, yeah, it'll be an interesting game. Very weird kickoff. I feel for the fans that got let, that got made aware quite late on that the game got changed to a different day and a different time. That is not great, but I guess.
I think for once, it's not really anyone's fault, is it?
I still feel for them.
Yeah.
It sucks. You know, there's a lot of money been spent there, but I hope they're still in a great voice, and who knows what could happen. Football's a funny game.
Have to play at 8 o'clock 130 miles away on a Monday night anyway.
No, 6 o'clock on a Sunday. So yeah, if it is anyone's fault, it's a certain broadcaster.
Oh, JJ, gives your score?
2-0 Spurs.
2-0?
Yeah.
I'm going to just keep that glass brimming. I'm going to say 2-2.
Okay. I'll take it.
I'll take that. If you're listening for the first time today, shout out as well to a Jordan who lives up in Scotland, long-time listener, who lives near the Mull of Kintyre. I hope that whenever you see the sign, you sing the song.
I thought that was a song. I didn't know it was a place. I didn't know.
If you're listening for the first time after that remark, I can guarantee you won't be back. You come back again and again and again and again and again.
You're right.